In the name of Jesus, amen. It's the Gospel of John that gives us the seven I am sayings of Jesus, where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Last weekend we heard Jesus say, I am the good shepherd. And today we hear Jesus say, I am the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Generation or two ago, it wasn't uncommon for people to have grape arbors. Maybe you can remember your parents or grandparents having a grape arbor, and they would oftentimes make their own wine. Winemaking is kind of making a comeback in Illinois. You can go around and find vineyards at various places. You can go over to Starved Rock in Utica, and they've got wine merchants there. This image of Jesus as the vine and we the branches is a good and clear picture of the connection between the Christian and Christ. And it sets before us the importance of fruitfulness in the Christian life. That's what indicates that we belong to Jesus, the bearing of fruit in our lives for Christ. Now, this gospel lesson doesn't specify exactly what Jesus means by fruit, but other parts of the gospel talk about what the fruit of the Spirit is. St. Paul tells us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. The followers of Jesus will display these qualities in their lives. And that's a result of being connected to Christ. And that's what our Lord is saying. How does one do what our Lord would have him do? Well, it's not a result of human effort or achievement. It's simply a result of abiding in Christ. And so with these words, when Jesus says, abide in me, they are a word of warning. They are a word of promise. And they are also a word of direction. First of all, a word of warning. Jesus said, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. It's a simple picture. A branch cannot bear fruit unless it remains connected to the vine, to the tree, to that which is its sustenance. It has nothing to do with desire, has nothing to do with sincerity or good intentions. If a person does not abide in Christ, they will be unproductive in terms of love, joy, peace, patience, and those other signs of the Spirit. Now, does that mean that a non-Christian, an unbeliever, cannot be kind and loving? Well, of course not. But it will not be that which is from God. Even pagans can be loving, but it's driven by a selfishness. They love those who love themselves. And they love those who love people like them. And so there is a sternness to these words of our Lord. He's not simply giving out good advice. He speaks what is true. Jesus said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown to the fire, and burned. Many people today don't realize that abiding in Christ is a requirement for staying out of hell. And that's not because I say so, it's because our Lord says that. Others simply don't care what Jesus says. And then others think that abiding in Christ simply means little more than trying to live a moral and decent life and maybe following some religious rules. Certainly the devil is to blame for tearing millions away from abiding in Christ. But parents, teachers, and yes, sometimes even pastors give the impression that being a Christian is simply trying to be good, follow some rules. And sometimes the impression is given, jump through these hoops and then you're in. That's not what it means to abide in Christ. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Jesus says that in order to be saved from the fires of hell, you need to have more than just a mere awareness of him. You need to abide in him. Jesus says, "Abide in me." He doesn't even say, "Abide in the church." He says, "Abide in me." It's a word of warning. It's also a word of promise. When Jesus says, "Abide in me," that is also a word of promise. Because Jesus never asks you to do something that he doesn't equip you to do. I'll say that again. Jesus never asks you to do something that he doesn't equip you to do. When you hear the command of God to abide in Christ, you might wonder, well, how do I do that? What do I have to do? It's about what Jesus does in you. Imagine an apple tree stressing about bearing apples, thinking to itself, "Oh, I've just got to try harder. I've got to do more." That's ridiculous. In order for an apple tree to bear apples, what does it have to do? Simply be what it's been created to be. In a similar way, when God commands you to abide in him, it is a promise that he will do what he asks of you in you. It's not something you need to worry about or fret about, but rather you can be assured of that promise that as he commands you to abide in him, he himself will provide for the way for you to do that. So it's a word of promise. And then it is a word of not only warning and a word of promise, it's also a word of direction. What does God use to abide in you? And what does he use for you to abide in him? He uses his word. He puts that word in you in your baptism. And for many of us, that's when it first started, where you first started to abide in Jesus and Jesus started to abide in you. And that's not the end of it. God commands us to abide in him, that is to remain in him. How does one remain in Christ? By hearing and receiving the word of Christ. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him." God uses his gifts of his word and his supper to bind us to himself and help us to abide in him. So how does one abide in Christ? By being a regular receiver of his word. God uses that word to help you abide in him. And it is just at that point that Satan pulls many people astray. It's a great deal of competition for people's time today. You don't need me to tell you that. There are many things that you could be doing this morning besides going to church. And every day there are many other things you could be doing besides thinking about God's Word, reading or listening to it. And many of these things are good things. Family activities, enjoying God's creation, enjoying nature. But Satan will use even the good gifts of God to distract us from God's Word and from abiding in Jesus. Church can simply become a ritual that we go through and we put as little effort into it as possible. Reading the Word of God and thinking about it Well, that sounds like so much work, and you know, there's a good show on TV, or you know, I have to go check my email. There's always something. And bit by bit, inch by inch, the devil seeks to separate us from Jesus. And we let it happen. We let it happen. God's word comes to us to warn us, to promise us, and to give us direction. We're not left on our own. He guides us by his word. Certainly when we come to this place, this is a delivery point for God's word, where he puts it into your ears through the preached gospel. He puts it into your mouth as you receive his holy body and blood. But there's six other days of the week. And God would have you think of his word throughout the week, setting aside time daily to think about and meditate on God's word. We have little devotionals, portals of prayer. Some of you use those. There's all kinds of resources on the internet, on the computer. The abundance of God's word we can expose ourselves to is it's abundant. And it's to be made use of. And if we are more apt to do it if we keep it simple. Yes, you can tell yourself, okay, I'm gonna dedicate a half hour of this day to reading God's word. Well, why don't you start with 5 minutes? Go from there. Say the Lord's Prayer. Say it in the morning, say it at noon, say it again in the evening. That's part of God's word. And as you let God's word wash over you, as you let it sink in, as you think about it, Jesus abides in you, you in him. It produces fruit because that's simply what God's word does in us. Not because of your trying, but because of the promise of God's word. This world offers all kinds of directions on how to live. But even the healthy of us will not be here long. Time quickly passes, we get old, our bodies fail us, we die. God gives us direction that lasts not only for this life, but for all eternity. He not only abides with us in this life, he abides with us in our death, and he abides with us throughout our lives in heaven. All because of what Jesus has done for us. Abide in me, Jesus says. A word of warning, yes. A word of promise, certainly. And a word of direction. In Jesus' name, abide in him. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.